Welcome to the South Elkhorn Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the weekly messages. For bulletin material, reflection guides, and other resources, visit southelkhorncc.org. Well, this morning I want to take a moment to pause and yet again appreciate and enjoy the light. The light of the Advent candle. We lit two candles, the candle of hope from last week and the candle of peace this week. I want to pause and enjoy the light that has grown. We now have some dangling icicle lights that are surrounding us here that we got to enjoy that were put up this week. Thanks to Dale Warren and Steve Feese and Ron Wigglesworth for helping make that happen. And I want to also appreciate the fact that we can enjoy these lights because the light differential has changed. We've put up blackout barriers from these lights. And I want to say thank you to Eric Hughes, who last night climbed a big ladder to put one up that had fallen out. And so by way of reminder, there may be little cords dangling down. Don't touch those. You don't want to know what happens because then you have to go back up and put it back up. That may be an invitation. Just don't touch them. But I want us to enjoy the beauty of the light on the trees and the greenery, the beauty of the Christ candle, the beauty of the Advent candle, the beauty of the light that is around us, and experience the peace of enjoying the light. So take a moment. Center yourselves this morning. Take a moment of silence and enjoy the light. How does a weary world rejoice? How does a weary world rejoice? That's the question that's guiding our Advent season this month of December. It's taken from the line of a hymn, O Holy Night, a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, this audacious idea that a weary world can yet also rejoice. And turned into a question, how is it so that a weary world can still rejoice? Well, last week we began the season of Advent. We began the season of Advent and we began reading the story of the gospel in Luke. We began with the story of Zechariah and we began with the story of acknowledging our weariness. How do we answer this question? How does a weary world rejoice? Well, we begin by just acknowledging the truth before God and before others, of the weariness that we carry, each of us, all of us. Just as the story was set long ago in a weary world beset by oppression and generations of trauma and tragedy, difficulty, hardship, so too we find ourselves beset by the tragedy and traumas of conflict and war, hostility and division, not to mention all the weariness that we may carry ourselves personally. The lives that we lead. We begin moving towards joy by simply acknowledging that we also carry weariness. And as we talked about last week, weariness and joy can belong together. That even as we are weary, we can yet rejoice. Well, this Sunday, we're moving into the next part of the Gospel of Luke. We're continuing with the story begun with the story of Zechariah and the angel Gabriel who appeared to him and shared the stunning and surprising news that left Zechariah speechless, unable to speak, rendered mute. And now we're going to see what happens next. And the next movement towards joy, the answer to the question, how does a weary world rejoice? Not only do we acknowledge our weariness, we find joy in connection. So as we read this morning, as we read this story, I want to invite you to look for moments of connection that spark joy. And perhaps as we lean into that connection that sparks joy, we discover a peace that surpasses understanding. So join me this morning as we read Luke chapter 1, reading verses 24 through 45. As we begin reading, I again want to acknowledge and I'm mindful of the fact that during the Advent season, we are hit with story after story of miracle birth, of childbirth, and bearing children. And I know for those who have struggled with fertility, who have struggled with fostering and adoption, with dreams of what a family might look like that have been frustrated or aren't coming true the way one had hoped, I recognize that there can be a weariness in just reading these stories, and I want you to know that your weariness belongs here too. This is not a story about who deserves a miracle. This is a story about how all of us deserve God, and God meets us where we are. And so once again, we're going to read of those who are being met where they are with news and an experience of God that changes everything. Let's read. After those days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. And for 5 months, she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Those words rung out a Christmas Eve long, long ago, perhaps to the surprise and astonishment of those who heard them. The story goes that a French soldier left his weapons in the muddy trench where he had been fighting, stood up on this Christmas Eve night and stepped onto the battlefield vulnerable to enemy fire and began audaciously to sing. Sing the words, "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. O thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices." That legendary story may have taken place in the Franco-Prussian War of 1870. It may have taken place in the Great War, World War I of 1914. We don't know. I like to think that the soldiers who might have heard that audacious hymn sung on the battlefield by a soldier vulnerable to enemy fire were astonished that there in this moment defined by violence and death, peace might break into the world in an unexpected way. Astonished at the sound of peace they were hearing. How can this be? How can this be? When the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary and shared this news, I can only imagine the astonishment that Mary must have been feeling. That question feels so incredibly relevant, so incredibly real. How can this be? How can this be? And yet there the angel Gabriel shared the news that Mary would bear a child and would bring the Son of God into the world, that the child she would deliver would be the one who would deliver the world into the kingdom of God, into the fullness of God's peace and mercy, love and justice, kindness and compassion, the world-shaking and life-changing reality that Mary was now bearing this child. How can this be? Can this be? I love that Mary is a picture of faithfulness. We have to understand that in the time that Luke is writing this gospel, for this story to begin with a priest who can't talk, and Joseph, who's but a footnote, and two women, centered as the prophet and the one who bears the very Son of God into the world, centered and lifted up, that is an audacious picture of faithfulness that is already at work, reversing the way things work. And Mary says, "Let it be so, according to your word," which I almost hear as, "If you say so." How can this be? I love that Mary is presented as a picture of faithfulness. We need to hear in her words, we need to hear in her interaction with Gabriel, the faithfulness of God from generations past, the faithful responses of people of God from the past. What God is doing here in this moment in the story of Luke, God has done before. It's just taking shape in a whole new way. We do need to hear that. And I do want to name the beautiful reality of Mary lifted up as a faithful person in this moment. And yet, I can't help but think that there's a clue in that first interaction with Gabriel that Mary is not all perfect faith and trust, that she's carrying something else in her soul and spirit too. When Gabriel first shows up to Mary, Gabriel only says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Says nothing about a child, or birthing the Son of God, just says this thing. And what is Mary's response? She is perplexed. Now, when I hear that word, I often think of, being in math class, trying to figure out a quadratic equation and being perplexed, at a distance, an intellectual game. But when Mary is perplexed, we need to hear something far more in her gut, in her heart, in her soul. The word perplexed shares a root word that has already been used to describe Zechariah's response when the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, and we learn that Zechariah was terrified. Perhaps Mary is thinking, not, "Well, this is strange. I wonder what this could be all about," and is thinking more, "What kind of threat is this?" Indeed, at that time, Mary would perhaps have heard stories of the Hebrew Scriptures and angels appearing, and she might also have heard stories of the first century that were not in the Scriptures, of angels showing up and wreaking havoc, of tricking people, of destroying lives. So when an angel shows up to Mary, perhaps she's thinking, "Oh no, what's going to happen next?" Perhaps we need to hear a little bit of more fear and concern and uncertainty in Mary's voice. Perhaps that is something that isn't entirely alleviated by the news that Gabriel shares, by learning of what's going to happen next and how God will be at work through Mary and through the Son that she will bear into the world. Maybe she's still carrying that uncertainty, that fear, that anxiety. We can't get inside Mary's head, but we can learn from what happens next. Mary receives this news, And I suspect there's perhaps joy and excitement, but I also wonder if maybe there's fear, anxiety, and uncertainty. And what she doesn't do is tell Joseph, or anyone for that matter. We read the very next thing she does. She goes with haste to her relative Elizabeth. Perhaps someone who can understand what she's going through. Perhaps someone who knows what it is to get this unexpected, bewildering, life-changing, world-changing news. She goes to her relative Elizabeth, and we need to know this. She's not going next door. Nazareth of Galilee is perhaps some 80 miles away by tradition from where Elizabeth lives, southeast of Jerusalem in the hill country. She goes on a long journey, we read, with perhaps nobody, by herself. She goes into a kind of travel seclusion. She takes this news, she holds it in her heart, and she travels an arduous journey, some 3,300 foot difference in elevation over the course of this journey to enter the hill country and knock on the door of her relative, who maybe, just maybe, might be able to know what it is to receive this news and be going through what Mary is going through. And there's something curious and interesting about the story of Elizabeth. Zechariah is rendered mute, and perhaps Elizabeth is relieved. I suspect it was difficult for Zechariah to communicate what he had experienced, and all we know is that suddenly Elizabeth discovers that she is carrying child, this crazy thing that has happened to her, and what does she do next? We read that she goes into seclusion. She secluded herself, or more forcefully, and I love the Greek here suggests this translation, she hid herself. Why? Unsure of how this pregnancy will go? Unsure of what others will try to make of this, unsure of what to do with any of this, maybe just didn't say anything at first and just realized the longer she didn't say anything, the harder it was to say anything, and so just didn't say anything. And there she is in seclusion, by herself, not able to talk with her husband, and she gets a knock on the door. And she didn't have to answer. Zechariah couldn't answer. She didn't have to answer. She gets a knock on the door and she chooses to open the door. And Mary walks in. And in this moment of connection between two women, joy is sparked. A child leaps for joy, and Elizabeth feels it in a deep way and not only receives the joy of Mary coming to her, but then blesses her with what she says to Mary. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. During the season of Advent, during the life that we lead, during this season of life that we are in as a people, with all the news and headlines, with all the difficulties that we are facing personally and collectively and globally, it makes sense that there are weary people, that you are carrying deep weariness. And yet something beautiful happens when we're able to share our joy and uncertainty, our hopes and our dreams, our confusions and bewilderment, our perplexity and our excitement with someone else who can understand. I love in this story that space is held for kind of three different modes that we might find ourselves in. The person who reaches out, Mary, who goes with haste on this arduous journey to connect with her relative, Elizabeth. Perhaps this Advent season, that's you. Someone who can and is ready to and just needs the push and the reminder to reach out, to show up and knock on the door, to send a text message, to make a phone call, to share a note, to share a word of encouragement, to just say, how are you? How's it going? I've been thinking about you. Perhaps that's you this morning and you're ready to knock and you need to knock on the door of someone. I love that there's space in this story for someone who's been in seclusion, who's perhaps for whatever reason felt isolated and alone, who has the courage nevertheless to open the door and receive the person who reached out. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe there's a knock on the door that's coming, and this story invites us to be open and be ready. And then there's poor Zechariah. He's still mute. He's going to stay mute until the baby that Elizabeth is carrying is born. And perhaps the truth is, some of us just are in a season of seclusion and isolation and loneliness. And the beauty of this story is there's still a place for you too. The beauty of this story is that it holds space for all of us, that God can meet us wherever we are in reaching out, in receiving, and still feeling bewildered by the fact that we feel so alone. There in the midst of all of that, God is still at work to do something new and beautiful. Brené Brown defines joy as a deep spiritual connection between two people, between a person and God, between a person and nature. If we want to know what joy is connection. If we want to know how a weary world rejoices, then we want to know how the weariness of secluded people, the weariness of bewildered people, can still have joy because they can reach out and connect, can knock and open the door. I suspect this Advent season there will be a number of opportunities for you to reach out and for you to open the door. And no matter how weary you are, I pray you sense and can trust that there is joy in connection. In connecting with someone who can understand and listen, and there's joy in being able to bless someone in the joy that they are sharing with you. You know, that story of the soldier on the field doesn't end, on the battlefield doesn't end there. No, the story continues. Something strange happens, according to legend, as the French soldier is there singing the lyrics to O Holy Night. A German soldier stands up from the trenches and meets the French soldier and begins singing in German, a German carol, a German hymn. And there together, each in their own language, each singing a different song, are singing words that speak to a peace that surpasses understanding. And there in that moment on Christmas Eve, with those words being shared between them, lifted up to heaven as an offering, is a ceasefire, a moment of peace in the battle. We don't know if that story is any more than fragments of reality that got woven into a legend. But on this Advent season, during this Advent season, I long for that story to be true. I long for there to be a peace that surpasses understanding because people are audacious enough to trust that joy happens when we open ourselves and become vulnerable to connect with someone else. Just as two women did long ago with the story of God. Just as you and I are invited to do this season. May it be so. May it be so.
Thanks for listening to the message this week. Visit southelkhorncc.org, where you can download reflection and discussion guides to dig deeper into the weekly scripture and message.